Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of the Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind Association show. This morning we're going to be talking about the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. My name is Thomasina Williams. I'm pleased to be your primary host this morning, but I also have on the line three co-hosts who I'd like to introduce now. Our first co-host, many of you know, our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is the founder of the International Mastermind Association. Ann is a professional development expert who helps people build better lives through her coaching and public speaking practice, Constructively Speaking. She is also the first Black female contractor in the entire state of Florida, operating at the level she operates as the founder and owner of NCO Construction. Also joining us as co-host this morning is Robin Donaldson. Robin is the owner of Renew Construction Services. She is also affectionately known as the Queen of Clean and runs a full-service construction firm. She also hosts the National Association of Black Women in Construction's Think and Grow Rich Accountability Call every Friday morning at 7 a.m. If you'd like to join, that number is 305-341-2788. 305-341-2788. And my other co-host is Angelique Frost. Angelique is very creative. She is the owner of Remarje brand luxury bead line, which makes beautiful handcrafted women's bracelets. And again, my name is Thomasina Williams. I serve as a strategic thought partner, consultant, and coach to enterprising families. This morning, we're going to be talking about the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. If you were fortunate enough to join us last week, you know that we started out last week talking about the 11 major factors of leadership, which focused on looking at our successes, unwavering courage, self-control, a keen sense of justice, definiteness of decision, definiteness of plan, the habit of doing more than one is paid for, having a pleasing personality, having sympathy and understanding, mastering detail, a willingness to assume full responsibility for whatever happens, and cooperation. But as we all know, in order to be successful, oftentimes our best lessons, the lessons that resonate with us most strongly, are the lessons that we learn not from our successes, but from looking at our failures. Examining where did I go wrong? Why did not this turn out the way that I thought it would? So that's going to be our focus this morning, the 10 major causes of failure in leadership, which are included in the organized planning chapter, part of the organized planning formula, the organized planning component of Napoleon Hill's formula for achieving success, thinking and growing rich. And I just want to outline the 10 major causes of failure in leadership, and then we're going to go to my co-host to dive into these a little bit. So the 10 major causes of failure in leadership are: one, the inability to organize details. The inability to organize details. Number two, an unwillingness to render humble service. I want to emphasize that humble part. An unwillingness to render humble service. Number three is expecting to get paid for what we know rather than what we do with what we know. Expecting to get paid for what we know rather than what we do with what we know. Four is fear of competition from our followers. Fear of competition from our followers. And I'm repeating these for those of you who may be writing them down and taking notes. I want to make sure that you get them all. Number five is lack of imagination. Six is selfishness. And I know nobody on this call suffers from that, but it's something that we're going to keep on the list. Six, selfishness. Number seven, intemperance. Eight, disloyalty. disloyalty. Number 9 is overemphasis on the authority of leadership. Overemphasis on the authority of leadership. And then number 10 is overemphasis on title. I'm sure Les may have encountered some folks who suffer from that one. Overemphasis on title. Those are what Napoleon Hill has outlined as 10 major causes of failure in leadership that we all need to be on the lookout for if we want to be successful in our businesses and the other parts of our lives. So we're going to open up this morning and invite my co-host to join us, and I'm going to go around and ask each person to share with our listening audience one of these 10 major causes of failure that resonated most strongly with you or that you have a particular lesson or learning that you'd like to share with our audience. I'll start with our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil.
All right, Thomasina, thank you. And for me, the first one, of course, that suggests that there's more than one, and thank you for all of our listeners that's joining us. I really think number 3, expectation of pay. As we shared earlier, for me, this is really in the reverse. I find that one of my failures is expectation of paying less than the service that I render. And that is a failure for me as a part of my leadership. And I'll just read what it says here in the book. It says, expectation of pay for what they know instead of what they do with that which they know. And the book goes on to say, the world does not pay people for that which they know. It pays them for what they do or entice others to do. And I chose that one because I have found in my business and in my life that one of my failures is the expectation for lower pay for what I do with what I know. And that speaks to, you know, some other issues. Yes, publicly I'm saying that. And so that would be my choice for answering the question.
And I'm so glad you selected that one to start out with, Anne, because it's also one that resonates really strongly with me. I feel like oftentimes we think that, you know, I have this great idea or I know this, I know that. The world is not going to pay you just for the knowledge. The question becomes, how can you make that knowledge actionable? What can you do to monetize, to bring value to other people that they're going to pay you for? And so I think that's one that a lot of us struggle with, needing to really focus, buckle down, and put an action plan. Again, we're in the chapter of the book, in the step that talks about organized planning. So just to know it is not going to get us where we need to go. We have to have a set of organized plans that are going to help us do something with all of that knowledge. Angelique, can you share with us which of the 10 major causes of failure in leadership really resonates with you the most or is one that you may be working on in particular right now?
Sure, absolutely. So it's hard because all of them are so vitally important for success or failure. I'm going to choose number 1, an ability to organize details. And this one kind of registers to me because when you're the boss of a company, no matter what's lacking or what's missing, everyone kind of looks to you, and you kind of have to know the answer. So with me and my business, and you said give a situation, when I first began and I got approved for my loan, I immediately began to start planning of, you know, in the book it teaches you to plan before the money actually comes. So I remember after I got approved and we were doing the closing, the guy that was sitting, which was a bank manager, was like, I guess you have something on your hands now. And I looked at him, and I was able to say, no, I actually have everything planned. I know where everything is going, and I've waited on this day my entire life. So with me doing and being proactive with the organized planning, the inventory, the photo shoots, all of this stuff that on the background, it actually turned out to be a way to cause less overwhelming, and I know where every amount and every money is going. So it was very, you know, it actually took a load off, Thomasina, to be honest, to do these things before you get the money, because now when the money comes, you know exactly what's going to be dispersed, the budget, the amount, who you need, and nation that I was able to put all this together. So that was a light example, and I'm going to go with number one for me. Thank you.
I think that's another great one, is the inability to organize details. And as you said, Angelique, you had your details down. You knew you had a plan, and you were simply working that plan. One of the things that you said I thought was interesting about the fact that oftentimes when we're the head of the company, when we're leading the company, everyone is looking to us to have the answers to everything. And what I think we also have to learn as leaders is we can't do it all by ourselves. We don't necessarily know the answer to everything. And we shouldn't have people expecting us to know the answer to everything. And that, moreover, it's okay to say, I don't know, but we're going to figure this thing out, and we're going to figure it out together. Or to surround yourself with people who do have the answer. This gets back to an earlier step in the process, and that was step four on specialized knowledge. If there's something that I need for my business and that's not an area that I'm strong in, I simply need to acquire that knowledge someplace else, through a partner, through an employee, through research, through a consultant, through any number of ways. So we need to know what the questions are. I find that going through the organized planning, doing as you suggest, Angelique, and sitting down, creating a detailed plan, knowing exactly what it costs to run my business, knowing exactly how much I need and where that money is going to go, will then help me to know what the questions are that I need to be asking of my staff, of my support team, of my banker, or whomever I am interacting with in my business. I think one of the other points that is made under this one about the inability to organize details is sometimes we have the fear of delegating. And what Napoleon Hill says is that we must acquire the habit of delegating details to capable lieutenants. And this is a struggle, I think, for a lot of us who maybe don't have the confidence in our team, or for whatever reason are afraid to let go. But as we were discussing before we started the show, there is a big difference between working in our business and working on our business. And when we have that team around us who's doing the work in the business, it gives us the freedom then to work on the business. And that's why delegating is so important, so that we are then focusing on the things that we need to focus on. When I started out my own law firm as a young lawyer, I remember one of the things that was drilled into my head is you never want to do a $300 an hour pair of hands, never want to spend your time doing what a $75 an hour pair of hands can do. And that was exactly how my mentor explained it to me, to really vividly drive home the importance of delegating in our business. Yes, I can do that, but is that the highest and best use of my time? And if it's not, that is also a clue into what we need to be doing to strengthen our organized planning and to surround ourselves with these capable lieutenants to do that work.
And
for those
Thomasina,
of you who may have just joined us, yes.
Go ahead,
Angelique.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to, I see a number of people calling in. I was just going to let the listeners who are joining us on the call know that what we're discussing this morning is the 10 major causes of failure in leadership, which is part of what Napoleon Hill encourages us to focus on in looking at the sixth step to riches, which is organized planning. Did you want to elaborate, Angelique?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback off of something that you said, Thomasine, as far as making sure you're getting your money's worth, making sure you're investing your time. So a lot of times to get motivation, I watch some shows. One of them is Shark Tank, where I can immediately see the numbers. And another one is Undercover Boss. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this show, but it's where the boss, the billionaire, the millionaire, actually goes to their company and they dress up under a disguise to see if people are promoting or how they're doing as far as their staff goes. And one thing I noticed about this show, Thomasina, and I think when you were speaking, this kind of registered to me, any time that they go there, this is going to be so funny to you, the boss never knows how to do the work. The boss never says, I invented this on my own. It's like, and it reminds me of the mastermind group. They surrounded themselves around people with the knowledge and became a millionaire, and they don't even know how to do this particular thing. You know, I never see the boss know exactly how to make this either from scratch. And it registered to me. I'm like, they have a mastermind group. They don't even know how to do or make this product. So when you were saying that, that kind of registered to me, and I just wanted to share that. Like, you don't have to be specialized in this area in order to qualify yourself to become a millionaire or a billionaire. You just have to surround yourself with people that do specialize in it so that you are able to cut the chase of other companies where they may have failed. You will succeed. So I wanted to share that. So thank you, Thomasina.
Thank you, Angelique. And that's a great point. You know, that also reminds me, I once clerked for a federal judge way back in the day, right after law school. And I remember having a conversation with him once in which he said that he never hires anybody who is not smarter than him in some area. He never hired anybody who was not smarter than him in some area. And I was like, wow. I said, really, Judge? I said, like, unpack that for me. Because it's very rare to find somebody who has that kind of self-confidence and is not. He was a leader who didn't have the challenge of number four, of fear of competition or of thinking that other people knew more than he did. And he said, think about it, Thomasina. If you know exactly what I know or what somebody else on my team knows, if you're not bringing things unique to the table, then you're not adding value. So that, again, we should not only should we not be afraid to hire people who are more knowledgeable than us in a particular area, the only way we're going to be successful is if we reach out and build that team, because none of us get to where we are alone, and none of us is going to know everything that we need to know. So we are discussing the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. We're going to take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from my co-host, Ms. Robin Donaldson, about one of the challenges that resonates with her from this list of the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. If you're listening and would like to dial in, we're going to provide you with a call-in number to do that so that you can raise your hand by dialing the number 1 on your phone and be recognized. Now we're going to our first commercial break.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
We are now back live with today's edition of Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Association's weekly call that focuses on Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. We're marching through the chapters of the book one by one, looking at the success formula that Napoleon Hill outlined for us in the book. Today, we are still, and have been actually for the last several shows, in step six, which is organized planning. And this is a very meaty chapter, lots of good information in this. Last week, we talked about the successes or factors in leadership. Today, we're talking about 10 of the major causes of failure in leadership. If you're listening in on the line and would like to join the conversation, please press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you in. But right now, we're going to go to my co-host, Robin Donaldson. And Robin, can you share with our listening audience one of these 10 causes that resonate strongly with you?
Sure thing, Thomasina. I believe number one has been challenging for most of us. So that's the one of the steps or the causes that that resonated with me, which is, again, the inability to organize details. And it would also be delegating responsibilities or the fear of delegation, as you described it. In my business, I have like a 3-month training cycle. So I would train, promote, and then repeat the process. But I just can't let go. I just cannot let go. I'm always thinking that they cannot do it better than me. You know, I might as well do it. And again, just to delegate responsibilities has proved to be very challenging for me. I mean, just not allowing them to perform accordingly to the way I've trained them. Also, when you guys were talking about we all cannot do it ourselves, I just, for some reason, immediately thought of a symphony, and I am not able to orchestrate every instrument. I just can't do it. It's just not possible. So therefore, as you stated, I have to look at the highest or ask myself, the time that I am given over to a certain task, is it the highest and best use of my time? So it would definitely be number one.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for sharing that. The other thing I think is important for us to remember is all of this is a process. And so sometimes when we don't get some of these things right or we find ourselves slipping back into an old habit, not to beat up on ourselves too much, but to remember that it is a process and that we're constantly learning and growing and evolving. So we've talked now about, number one, the inability to organize details, which includes being able to delegate appropriately. We've also talked about number three, which is having an expectation of the world paying us for what we know rather than what we do with what we know. And I touched on number four, which is fear of competition from followers, which is definitely a lesson that I learned from the federal judge that I clerked with, of always surrounding yourself with very smart people, because if they're not smarter than you in some way, they're not adding something that no one else on the team has, and they're really not adding value. I want to touch on a couple of these others here as well. Number two, unwillingness to render humble service. And the quote that Napoleon Hill includes here that I love says, "The greatest among you shall be the servant of all," is a truth which all able leaders observe and respect. That being a leader is also being a follower. The term that was coined, I think, a number of years ago that was very popular is calling ourselves, or not actually just calling ourselves, but actually modeling, actually being a servant leader. That I should not, as a leader, be asking other people to do that which I am not willing to do myself, I think is very important. And this comes also with, I think, the point around delegation and surrounding yourself with followers and people who are smarter than we are in some area, just to be humble enough to know that I cannot do what I do unless I have a team that supports me. When I had my law practice, that was our mantra, that I couldn't do what I needed to do if I didn't have that team back at the office taking care of business. Team back at the office was not taking care of business. then I wasn't going to be in a position to focus on doing what it was that I needed to do. So being humble in the service that we render is also extremely important. Number four here, we mentioned the competition from followers. Five is lack of imagination. Without imagination, leaders are incapable of meeting emergencies and of creating plans by which to guide their followers efficiently. I think this is a really big one, too. When you're talking about trying to create a business, that people are going to pay you for something that other people don't have, whether that's better quality, whether that's a better price, it might be a different product. But the way we get to all of that is being imaginative, trying to figure out what is needed to take things to the next level. I happened to be in San Francisco, and I was at a conference the last couple of weeks, or a couple of days, rather, the last couple of days, focusing on startups in the tech industry. And it's fascinating the kinds of things that people can create, the ideas that people are coming up with. And I think oftentimes, our challenge is kind of downplaying that. Oh, well, that won't work, or how would I do that? One of the things that Les Brown always says that I love is the how is none of my spiritual business. That if you can think about it, it can be done. And the question becomes putting that energy, building that burning desire to really be able to think about, okay, this is an idea I have. I'm going to take advantage of this idea and just trust that the universe is going to send to me that which I need in order to bring this to fruition, which is why I ended up attending this tech conference the last couple of days. I had an idea for something. I know nothing whatsoever about technology. My friends laugh at me because I'm so bad at technology. Literally, if something happens, I turn it off. I say a prayer, I wait 10 seconds, and I turn it back on. That's my knowledge of technology. But I had an idea, and even though I didn't know how to bring that idea to fruition, I sat down and I thought about what it would take, and I had been able to assemble a team. Well, 2 weeks ago, actually, I had now witnessed a prototype of this thing that was an idea in my head that this group of young, very talented technologists have now actually made that a thing and brought it to life. But it all started with imagination. Number six is selfishness. Leaders who claim all the honor for the work of their followers are sure to meet by resentment. That it's important for us to give credit where credit is due. If I know that I did not, I had an idea for this app that we're creating, this online tool, but I didn't create the prototype. So I need to be humble enough, back to number two, be humble enough to give recognition to those people who made it come to life. Intemperance is number seven. Followers do not respect an intemperant leader. Moreover, intemperance in any of its various forms destroys the endurance and the vitality of all who indulge in it. And intemperance is not a word that really I think is used that much in today's society, but it basically I think of intemperance as being somebody who's kind of a hothead, somebody who's impatient, who doesn't take the time that is required to go through the steps that are needed to do any sort of organized planning. And then disloyalty, we all know what that means. And Napoleon Hill says that perhaps this one, disloyalty, should have come at the head of the list, that leaders who are not loyal to their trust and to their associates, those above and those below, cannot long maintain their leadership. That because it requires a team, it's incumbent upon all of us to honor that team, be loyal to that team in the same way that we would want that team to be loyal to us. Number nine is overemphasis on the authority of leadership. You know, some of us can get caught up in the fact that we're supposed to be the leader. We have the authority of leadership and not really give the respect and the recognition to the other members of our team that we should. Overemphasis on the authority of leadership can be a real challenge if we, again, are not acknowledging that it's a team effort, which also I think ties back to the being humble in the service that we render. And this last one here is overemphasis on title. Competent leaders require no title to give them the respect of their followers. I think this is a very important one for those of us who may not necessarily be the person who owns the company or who is the top person in the company, to recognize that we can lead without having a title. We can lead from wherever we are by the ways in which we conduct ourselves, by the conversations that we have, by the seeds that we plant with others. I'm going to encourage our listeners who might want to share a story with us about one of these 10 major causes of failure in leadership that either maybe resonates strongly for them or something that they have a challenge with. I'm going to go now to our first caller who has been patiently holding on the line, phone number ending in 2748. Good morning. Welcome to Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio. Your comment or your question, please.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the show. I do want to thank you for such great insight into Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 7 on Organized Planning. And as I was sitting here and I was listening, something struck me about the organized planning section that included disloyalty. And, you know, I work in the field of construction, and for me, this this number 8 really jumped off the page because I work as one of those persons who has a disaster relief team, and which meant that during seasons such as this, hurricane season, we would travel for work. And to have an employee or someone who works with me who was not able to embrace loyalty presented real challenge for me. I mean, it absolutely does, because sometimes when you're working, when you work as a team, it is that spirit of teaming that really makes the project go. It's like it's not something that you can compromise on. I mean, it has to be there. And sometimes as the leader, I will make self-sacrifices for the team so that we have what we need to get the job done. It's not about the titles, just as you stated. It's not about the titles. It's not about the big head, about being number one. I need to be in the front of the line. It's really about self-discipline, and lots of times it's about stepping back. And just as you said, let that person with the specialized knowledge, with that specific subject matter expert, step up to the front and use that knowledge you paid them for to get the job done. So that disloyalty, it just kind of jumped off the page, and I could hardly contain myself. You're doing such a great job with the show this morning. Thank you so much for letting me comment.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. A quick question. I'm wondering, how do you deal with those situations where you find that you have a disloyal team member? Are there any strategies or particular things that you do that you can share with others on the call that might be helpful for them?
Sure. One of the things I attempt to do when I have a worker, or it could be a business partner, or I find myself in a situation with somebody who I thought was going to go the extra mile with me, but obviously it becomes evident that they are not, I start to unwind them from my company, my job, or from the relationship. How do I untie or remove the woven cloth, that thread that goes between us all? How do I start to remove it so that I can back out or allow them the opportunity to back out? That becomes my first goal or my first mission. From there, it's just a slow process for me, count or move away. That becomes very important because I find that once a person shows you that they are not really part of the team or team player, you'll begin to notice that there were other signs or inclinations that were showing you this for a very long time. And so what you have to do also is assess damage control, what has happened that might have damaged my business by having this person who is not a team player on the team, and to start to rebuild, to find another person who may be able to fit that slot of specialized knowledge to become a part of the team and to make a space for that person who is vacating. That's been the way I do it. Yes.
Because, great. Thank you.
I just understand that everybody's not going to go the distance with me. Everybody is not. And we've heard that old adage that says some are here for a season, some for a reason, and some for a lifetime. And so we just pay attention. And it may not be something, Napoleon Hill talks about this in another chapter, it may not be something that they have grown or matured in a particular or a specific area. It's just that they're not there yet. And so we just let people be who they are and live from the place they're in and let it be okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. This is, I think, a really important theme, particularly for masterminding, is talking about your team. We're going to go to our next commercial break and come back and delve a little bit more into this concept. I loved your term, the spirit of teaming. We're going to go to a commercial break and then come back and talk about the spirit of teaming and how that can be one of the major causes of failure in leadership.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's weekly show, Think and Grow Rich. Someone may have joined in on the line who does not have us on mute. I'm going to ask everyone who is on the line to please place your phone on mute so that we're not getting the background noise. Thank you so very much. This morning we're discussing the sixth step in Napoleon Hill's formula for thinking and growing rich, and that is organized planning. One of the key things that he focuses on in the chapter on organized planning is the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. And before the commercial break, we were talking about this concept of the spirit of teaming and how that is so much a part of, literally, I think, each of the 10 steps that he outlines here that are things we need to watch out for that can be a failure in our leadership. And I think this is something we may want to do a separate show on, is how do we build a team? You know, people talk about the concept of team a lot, but there's not always a lot of focus on what it takes to build a team. And I find that simply because someone is a part of your group or maybe an employee or even one of your partners or a co-founder doesn't necessarily make you a team. Being a team means that you're on the same page, that you have done an analysis about what you're trying to do and have come up with a shared vision for that. And so I think we're going to perhaps do a show on this concept of the spirit of teaming at another point. Right now we're going to go to our phone line, and I am going to open up the line for the caller whose phone number ends in 5345 to share with us. Good morning. Your question or your comment?
Good morning. This is Katina. And my question is, the topic is the failures. I wanted to know from Miss Ann, and she had mentioned, I think, I forget which one she mentioned, but I wanted to know how does she overcome that one that she mentioned? How does she make it, turn it into a positive to overcome the situation?
My response to that is, and this is my personal growth and development from reading the book, what I found was that I had to really grow my own self-image. So in the book, on the chapter that talks about the power of the subconscious mind and how do you grow your self-image, so there's a self-confidence formula, which I would challenge everybody to not just read but to actually memorize. And what I found is that the more I memorized and actually began to live inside the self-confidence formula, which starts off by saying, you know, I know that I have the ability to achieve my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward attainment. And it goes on. That's what I ended up having to do to overcome that challenge on number one. The number that I mentioned, which is number three. And I apologize, I am the person with the noise in the background because I am actually at a Florida Speakers Association event. But I'm going to go back on mute, but that's my response to that. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you for that, Ann. Did the caller have another question or comment on that?
Well, I wanted to get everybody who... Yes, this is Katina again. I wanted to get everybody's perspective on how they overcame, if they've overcame it already. Robin, the same question poses to you as well.
Well, again, mine was number one, the inability to organize details. And it was really a force for me. I had to delegate responsibility. I was losing it. Miss Ann would always say, you have too many things on your plate. You're trying to burn the candle at both ends of the candle. And I had to do it. I had to delegate the responsibility. So with that being a great need, I then looked at everyone around me who I have trained and just had to delegate those responsibilities to them, which really took a load off my shoulders because now it freed up that time doing miscellaneous things when I can be out there developing and working my business. So mine was a little forceful, but again, going over and continuously reading Think and Grow Rich, I'm finding that these are with that not to be a challenge anymore. And I hope that helps.
Yes, it did, because I've been for 13 years now, and I still have that fear of, what if they don't do it right? I got to do it. I got to do this. I got to do that. So, that did help. Thank you. And Ms. Ann, it helped as well. And the same question to Angelique. I know you're a new business owner, but you are definitely a planner. You know, I met her back in January, and she plans everything. And I love that about her, how she diligently plans and organizes herself.
Okay, thank you, Katina. Go ahead, Robin.
No, I wasn't sure if you were in class yet, but you're right on
time.
Yeah,
no, I'm multitasking. Thank you so much for the compliment. With coming from a perspective when you surround yourself around business owners that have been in business for quite some time versus me coming into the entrepreneurship / business world, it was quite challenging because where you guys have temporary defeat, I'm kind of just coming up against that. It does help me out to surround myself with women like you because you're able to shed light and save me time as far as learning and having your experience up under my belt as well. But it was very difficult at first because no one has ever done this in my family. No one had ever done retail. No one ever wanted or decided to become a business owner up into me. And I'm the last child, so I'm the last out of nine. So, you know, I would say, like Ms. Ann said, the self-confidence formula, really helped me because I say it every morning in the mirror. And one of my favorite things in the success formula is it has you promise yourself, like, I signed my name to this and I'll never stop trying. That's basically saying that you're owning it. Doesn't matter how much time it takes or if it takes a lifetime, which for the Think and Grow Rich book, I think it cut it in half of setting the layout and the organized planning. And I would say the self-confidence formula really does, because what it does is it gives you self-confidence where other people may be undecided on your dream or not as not as supportive. You give yourself that self-confidence, and then when you go around people, it shows. And you know what I've learned, Katina, is that what I've learned from me, you know, within the first 30 years I've been here, is that when people change, they don't walk around saying they're changed. You just see them and you know that they're changed. And that's what I've come into since I've been reading the Think and Grow Rich book. It's like, you know, you've really changed or you have a different perspective. And that's when I know you take that learning curve and it's like, oh, okay, I did change. A lot of times you don't notice until you go around other people your growth. So that's something that I experience, and I always take heed and humble-hearted towards that and show gratitude to where people show me support. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Katina,
that's all I have.
Katina, I wanted to chime in because I know we're friends and we have discussed this very same thing, delegate responsibilities. Nobody can do it as good as we can, and if they do it, they mess up. I'm going to have to do it anyway. But again, that's
right.
The growing process. That's the learning process. And the moment that you hire your new assistant, I mean, you gain significant time back from within a day. You were given an extra 2-3 hours. Now you can implement those goals and those dreams that you had been thinking about. And that's the same way I had to really look at it. Although I was forced into, you know, delegate responsibilities, now that I have done that and saw how each person brings fresh ideas, they bring a new excitement. So I trained them properly. I explained to them that there's a standard of how we operate, and then from that, allow them to be them. And by doing so, my business has taken off in so many different directions, and there's ideas and suggestions that makes my job a little easier. And it's I get all of that from my assistants, who are much, much younger than me. So now, understanding the benefit of delegating, that's something I do all the time. Like, if something comes to mind, something I really, really want to do and feel I don't have time, well, I'm going to find somebody who is just as enthusiastic about that particular project as I am. And now we're going to merge it all together, and eventually I'm delegating that responsibility totally to them. So it proves to be a benefit, and it definitely gives you more time to do the things or the most important things.
Yes, I do believe so. With the younger millennials, as they would call themselves, this day and age, they definitely bring some new, fresh ideas and things like that. So I am looking into hiring a couple more millennials in the next 30 days. So thank you for the insight.
That's great. So I think, Katina, and the more that you – Go ahead, Robin.
No, I was just going to say, Thomas, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, we just took over the call.
No, you didn't take over the call at all. I think that was you're sharing. You're responding to the question. I think a lot of people have this issue. And so what I was going to offer, Katina, is you say, how do you do this? Well, it sounds like you have already done it. So you just claim that. And Robin shared that you hiring your assistant freed up a lot of your time, and you saw a significant difference just in a day. And so you think about if you replicate that another couple of times, the kind of freedom that would give you then to focus on other things and building your business. And those people should not only be paying for themselves, but allowing you the space to do the work that you need to do to continue increasing your bottom line. So thank you for the question.
Thank you for letting me have the time to ask the question.
Absolutely. This is what this is all about. We're here to share every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. We now have another caller we're going to go to who is calling in. The person whose number ends in 2447, we're going to open up your phone line. Good morning. Thank you for your comment or your question.
Good morning. My name is Chris McCarron. I just want to say beautiful job on the show. It's lovely to listen to this every morning. It's very inspirational. And I as I'm listening this morning, I'm hearing people struggling with the concept of delegating. So I just wanted to share something that I heard once that helps me to remember the importance of delegating. Superman would make a great pizza delivery guy, but is that really his highest and best use? Whenever I, you know, find myself doing that, I think of him, you know, flying around with pizza, and I think, yeah, okay.
I got the visual.
I love that. Superman would make a great pizza delivery man, but it's not the highest and best use of his skill. That is great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, I love it.
You're welcome.
I love
thank
it.
Thank you for this every Saturday.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for listening. You all are why we are here. We're going to go take a quick commercial break and then come back and wrap up the show with closing comments from my co-host on the subject of failures of leadership.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Thank you so much to our listening audience out there. This has been a great show. We've been talking about the 6 step to riches, which is organized planning, and the role that the failures in leadership, the lessons we need to learn as leaders in growing our businesses. And actually, I said that we were going to wrap up, but I think we might want to just take a moment to hear from our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is the person to whom we all owe a debt of gratitude for having the vision to create the International Mastermind Association and the vision to create this show so that we can share with each other on a regular basis on Saturday mornings. Ann actually wanted to comment on the subject of imagination, which I think is really important. Ann, do you want to share a little bit about imagination before we wrap up the show?
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything that we're doing and everything that we're discussing actually is created in our imagination. And so for many years when I read this book over and over and over, and it would talk about the secret, and I would come up with this idea. And then, so what is really the secret? And I'm realizing from reading a lot of different books on a lot of different subjects, it is all in the power of an idea. So for me, the secret in the book is an idea. But ideas are formed in our imagination. So everybody who's participating in this call, whether they are listening live or whether they will listen in the future, you have an idea. Wherever you are, you're looking at an item. You're on a phone. You're on a laptop. Every one of those started with an idea. Francina had an idea. She went and pursued that idea. And what I want to encourage everyone in, don't run over your ideas. When you wake up every morning, start an idea book. Just sit down with a blank sheet of paper and allow your spirit to bring to you through your imagination all of the ideas that you have when you wake up in the morning, when you go through the day, and just start chronicling those ideas and write them down. And I promise you, if you just continue to join us every single Saturday on this show and begin to take your ideas and move them from step to step to step, and for those of you that have followed us for a very long time, we're actually living in the life of Thomasina's ideas being manifested, Robin's ideas being manifested, Angelique, who has moved to Atlanta from this show, her ideas are being manifested through her imagination. And so when we talk about the failures of leadership, I strongly think that one of my challenges is the imagination and really not imagining what's possible bigger. Yeah, I said that. It's not bigger. I mean, I'm not imagining bigger and then taking the steps that are required to take that idea through my imagination on a daily basis to the next level and the next level. And so I was just so excited by everything that we've heard this morning, everything we've participated in this morning. But I really want to make sure that every person who's listening to us, when you get off this call and you get off this radio show, challenge yourself with your own imagination and then continue to join us. And I know some of you have been prompted by me texting and all of us texting and being on Facebook and all of that and saying join us. But this is phenomenal if you are serious about taking your ideas to the next level. So I just had to share that, and I'm just so very inspired and encouraged personally and professionally to take my imagination to the next level and work on these 10 major causes of failure. That's it.
Thank you so much, Anne, for sharing that. I think you're so, so very right. And actually, I think that's a great place for us to end this week's show, is to talking about the power of ideas. I think we get lots of ideas, but we dismiss them. We censor them out or think, oh, I can't do that, or how am I going to do this? And again, I go back to that saying that Les Brown has, the how is none of your spiritual business. You simply follow the steps. Napoleon Hill has outlined for us the steps that are required to take that idea and turn that idea into a successful business. It takes determination. It takes a burning desire. It takes faith. It takes specialized knowledge, organized planning, all of these different steps. Actually, imagination is chapter 5 in the 13-step formula. Imagination is the one we talked about before we got on to this chapter on organized planning. So we can't discount or devalue ourselves and our ideas just because we're not sure whether it will work or because we're not sure how we're going to do it. If it's an idea that was given to you, it may be that you are the only person who can bring that idea forth. And what you need is to surround yourself with a mastermind group, a group of people who are going to encourage you, who are going to support you, who are going to help you figure out how to take this idea and bring that idea into manifestation and into reality. With that, I'm going to turn to Robin first and then to Angelique to ask whether either of you have any parting words that you'd like to share with our listening audience this morning. Robin?
I would. The first is, I mean, a lot of people know me. I would always say that I'm the general manager of the universe. So, you know, after reading, again, these particular, the 10 causes of failure in leadership, I understand now that I can be the general manager of my universe if I equip myself with capable lieutenants. And also just understanding that in order to be a successful leader, you must be an intelligent follower. And in closing, I would just like to say, where on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. that you can be on a call with like-minded individuals. And so I just encourage everybody to join us next week on the call, as well as I would invite you to our Think and Grow Rich accountability call that we do have Friday at 7 a.m. Again, it is the Think and Grow Rich Accountability Call. And that number is 305-341-2788. Again, the accountability call on Friday morning at 7 a.m. is 305-341-2788. And Thomasina, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Robin. And for those who may be listening, like myself, I'm actually in San Francisco today, so it's a little early for me. But the call at 7 a.m. on Fridays is Eastern Standard Time. 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern Standard Time. Angelique, my other co-host, Angelique, do you have any parting words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Absolutely. So I would say my closing would be, you know, before this book, I didn't know what failure or temporary defeat, I didn't know the difference. I didn't know what failure looked like. But now that I look back at my past, you know, failure was having its way with me because I did not know what it looked like. You know, and if you don't know what failure looks like or what temporary defeat looks like, you'll think that that's you. But I just want to say that you welcome those things into your life. Anything that you want to succeed in, you're capable of doing. Everything you touch is an idea of someone else that was most likely considered crazy at the point that they launched it. You know, so I don't want to say temporary defeat. I'm with Robin. I have burnt all my boats. There's no retreat for me. This is what I'm doing. And never give up. Never look to people for a qualification for yourself. Know what failure looks like, because failure is a decision. Anything that you make is you have to ultimately make a decision in the back of that. Everything is a choice. Let me just say that. So if you choose to surrender to failure, indeed you will. If you choose to keep going, you know, and saying sometimes you get to a point in your life where I did, where I was like, I just don't want to live like this anymore. I just don't want to live check to check. This isn't living. This is just surviving. So I would just shed light to say, find the will to just keep going. Find the ambition to just keep going. And you'll find that failure will surrender to you without it knowing. Because now, Thomasina, I know what it looks like. I know what temporary defeat looks like. And now I say, okay, I just have to find another way. This isn't a dead end for me. I just have to find another way. This way isn't working. Let me find another. Let's strategize and think of different ways. So for anybody that feels unqualified or feels as though there's not a starting point, now would be a perfect organization for you to start. And I would promote the Think and Grow Rich call that gives you fuel to get your week going. And I just want to say thank you to all the ladies, all the listeners, to allow me and to have front row seats to see my dream unfold. So thank you so much, Thomasina, Robin, and all of the listeners, and especially Miss Ann. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Angelique, for sharing. And thank each of our listeners this morning. We invite you to join us again next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind Association call. We look forward to hearing from you all next week and hope you have a great week. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002. 2002.